B-Pod Studios.
Mike Messinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Messinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Messinelli Show, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, and I wish I could come to you on a happier day, but it's not a happier day. And I know there are a lot of people that are trying to look at this season as, oh, it was a good season. I don't think I want to play that tune today, so we'll analyze what exactly we have here. The well has gone dry. The magic carpet ride has come crashing down to earth. The season is over. And now we are left to pick up the rubble of this season. And how we pick up the rubble is going to be interesting today. I don't know how you can capitalize a season in the way that people have been doing it by saying, don't worry, it was a good year, when they had a great chance to win. And in that having a great chance to win, had they won the game and they're at the 27-yard line, you're looking at a team that they could handle the following week, and you get ahead of yourself and you go, they could go to the Super Bowl. They get to the 27-yard line. How many people were thinking the same thing I was thinking? They're going to win this game. They're going to beat L.A. They're going to go to the Super Bowl again, and this is the way this season is going to end. And it didn't happen. And it didn't happen because a football went through the fingers of a normally reliable receiver. So let's conduct the autopsy quickly as we can. And then we'll get into it in more detail as the show goes on. The play. There are a lot of ways to look at this play. And a lot of people are looking at it like they rushed the play. I'm not one of them. Alshon Jeffrey has to catch the ball. Now, I know you can say, well, you know, if it wasn't for Alshon, you wouldn't be there. That has nothing to do with the particular play at that particular time. If the play is there, he can't rest on the laurels of previous plays that he made. He's got to make a clutch play in crunch time to help the Eagles win the game. So I know that people felt he was disheartened and he looked like he was going to cry and he had his face on the ground. I get all that. I feel for that too. That doesn't erase the fact that he needed to make that catch and he's got 10.5-inch hands and he wasn't exactly focused as well as he should have been focused to catch the ball. You can't look at it any other way. Now, let's look at attempting the play. There's so many people out there that are taking the easy way out, which is, why did you have to rush a play there? Why not? You know, like, why do you have to get it to the 2-minute warning? You know, if the play was there, if it was a bad play, and it really cost the Eagles, then you look at it that way. Well, it was rushed, was discombobulated. It wasn't rushed or discombobulated. The pattern was there. Now, they weren't going to get a first down out of that play, but it's going to be 7 yards closer to your goal, which is to get to the end zone. So I don't understand why people are taking that easy way out. Well, they should have run it down in a 2-minute warning. They ran the play the play before, and then, you know, we thought it was going into. What's the difference? Whether they ran the play or not, it was still a play that should have been successful. So I don't get that line of thinking. What turns the game around? Obviously, what turns the game around is the interception. And it was a mistake by the quarterback. See, in a game like this where you don't have the better team, and the Eagles did not have the better team, you cannot make the little mistakes that will prevent you from winning. You got out to a 14-0 lead. You had that crowd on its heels. You had that team on its heels. And you threw the ball short on a pattern where he was open. And it's picked off. And that changes the momentum completely. It brings the crowd back into the game. It brings the offense of the Saints back into the game. And after that interception, the drive happens where you get the fake punt, where they decide to fake the punt on a 4th-and-1, where the Eagles don't take the penalty. Another bone of contention that I have. And then finally, they go for it on 4th-and-2 and get the touchdown. All right? I mean, that's balls, and he goes for it in that situation to get the touchdown. So you tip your cap to Sean Payton. But let's go back to the fake punt. Penalty's called. So many people on Twitter are going, no, it was the right thing. You take the 4th down. Isn't Doug Peterson the author of the odds are better to convert a 4th-and-1 than any play? It's like he's got these statistics. 65% of the time, you convert a 4th-and-1. In addition to that, if you're really thinking a game, you know the Saints have Taysom Hill in the game. With Taysom Hill in the game, they do stuff. Like, he's not in there for his health. He's in there because he's a big quarterback, a big offensive player who can do some things. So to me, I don't understand why you don't put him in 3rd-and-11 and trust your defense. And you go, well, Breeze would have got a 1st down. Really? Maybe he wouldn't have. Maybe he wouldn't have got a 1st down. At 4th-and-1, he got the 1st down. We know that already, right? And I know it's hindsight, but at the time, I'm going, why not take the penalty? They're going to do something funky here. Taysom Hill's in the game. Scouting. They've done it before with this guy. You can't afford to have these little things that add up to a loss, and the Eagles did it yesterday. So the bottom line is the Foles era is over. The magic carpet ride's gone. As you know, I was extending this to the nth degree, and I even suggested that had he had a brilliant game, and the Saints had to come back and win the game, and they kind of did, but they didn't win it like on a last-second field goal where Foles gave them the lead. He didn't play that well. He played okay. He didn't play well enough for me to ride with that. So now he's gone, and it's a matter of how they allow him to go. Do they owe it to him to say, you know what, knock yourself out, become a free agent, get as much money as you want? Do they renew the contract? Do they let him buy out? Do they then franchise him and trade him to a team he may not want to go? I don't know how they're going to handle it. But the one thing we do know is we no longer have a conversation as to whether Nick Foles is going to be the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. In addition to that, and we talked about this earlier, now that the season's over, and you look at the prospects of the Eagles, yes, they energized us at the end of the year. And we saw them as a pretty good team. But now you got to look at them realistically. They've got a lot of guys that are going to be free agents. Graham, Hicks, Ajayi, Nada, Wallace, Darby. You got to count on Peters coming back for one more year? Are you going to count on that? Are you going to count on Sproles coming back for one more year? You got a right guard, a Pro Bowler, now with a torn Achilles tendon. So where are you now as a franchise as you go into next year? All this is under review today. Now, Tyrone, I got to bring you in here because there's been a lot of benevolent people. And I get it. It was a pretty good year the way they closed it out. But this was a winnable game, and it's hard for me to get past that prospect. Your thoughts?
I'm crushed. I really thought that there was going to be some magic late in the game. I really believed it. Contrary to what some people out there thought, that I was somehow happy that the Eagles lost. I was not happy. I'm still not happy. I'm still a little bit shocked that they didn't win the game. But everything, this is the thing I can't get over, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. When it was 14-0 and they had the ball and they were driving, I thought they're about to go up 21-0. This is the Vikings game all over again. They're getting ready to smoke this team. And when that interception got thrown, I got a little bit deflated as a fan. I did. And then they end up scoring. You mentioned how they ended up scoring. It's 14-7. And I actually was kind of impressed with Swartz overall because I kept thinking the game was going to get away from them. And the game never got away from them completely. They were always within a score. That's a game you have to win. And Alshon, I know he was sorry. I know he said it was his bad, and I get it. And one play doesn't decide the whole game. But he has to make that catch.
Yeah, it's a veteran player who had a lack of focus. The way a ball goes through your hands is that you're not entirely focused. Whatever it is in your brain that you think you're going to get hit or you, whatever it is, it stops you from focusing on catching the football.
Yeah, it's super slow motion. It looks like he took his eye off because he was looking to run before he secured the ball. That can't happen. And there were people on social media who thought I was somehow picking on the guy for saying he has to catch the ball. That's our job. He has to make that catch.
He has to catch the ball. He's a pro player. I know he caught other balls, but that play was right there, and there was nothing that really impeded him from making a catch like that. Well, it's over now. And you're right. What the interception did was bring the notion of the New Orleans crowd and the team back to saying, okay, now we're okay. And when you give that opportunity to a better team, they usually take advantage of it, and that's what happened.
Yeah, so it's hard for me to get over it. One thing I will say, I saw you dealing with these people on social media.
Uh-huh.
Stop comparing Alshon to Parkey. It is not similar in any way, shape, or form. He does 1,000 things on a football field more than a kicker has to do. It's not apples to apples. Stop saying it. Stop it. It's not the same. Kickers are still not football players. Alshon is not the same. So can we just stop? Because I know somebody's going to call and say that. It's not the same.
Right, but I don't have any sympathy for either of them.
No, me neither. Me neither.
So it's life in a big city as a pro football player. All right, we'll talk about it. And one other thought. This didn't really have anything to do with the game. But I don't understand and everybody does it in the NFL. And Doug Peterson, if he's thinking on his feet in a game like that that's so important, shouldn't have done it. 14 minutes, 11 seconds to go in the third quarter. The shot clock is, or the snap clock is running down, and every coach is scared to death of a freaking 5-yard penalty, and they call a timeout. At 14, 11, 5 yards is not as important as preserving a timeout in the second half. I wish coaches would get this to their head, especially this guy. Bugged me. 610-632-0975. Mike Missanelli Show. We'll talk about it. It's the postmortem. Brian Westbrook will join us. Ron Jaworski will join us. We'll talk about it on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Let's bring in Mam for some analysis. What does he think the Eagles will do from this point on? He's the great number 36, Brian Westbrook, brought to us by Visit Philly. Headed to the city for the game. Well, no more games, but you can always check out a Sixer game. Yeah, Flyers, whatever, Union. Union still play? No. Book the Visit Philly overnight hotel package. Flyers still playing? Anyway, Visit Philly overnight hotel package. Enjoy over $200 worth of free perks, including free parking. Find out more at visitphilly.com.
That's a violation.
Let's bring him in. His name is Brian Westbrook. B. West, how you doing today?
You know what, Mike? I'm not doing great. Anytime the season's over, I always go into a state of mourning because I want our Eagles to win every game, every Super Bowl, and following up a great run to get into the playoffs, we just couldn't seal the deal against a very good New Orleans Saints team.
All right, and I see, I'm disappointed too, and here's why. I think the New Orleans Saints is a better team, but things were falling into place for the Eagles. Now, they had made some mistakes. They let New Orleans back in the game with that interception, but they got to the 27-yard line. So let's look at that circumstance. There are a lot of people say, you should have just run it to the two-minute warning, take your time, come up with a better play than that, but the play was open. The guy just didn't catch the ball.
Yeah, I certainly was one of those guys that felt that they should take it to the 2-minute warning. But I also understand Doug's side of it. I think Doug felt they were on a roll. They want to keep the ball rolling. They don't want to stop things because of the 2-minute warning. And so you're right. Everything about the play worked. Alshon is wide open. Nick delivered a pretty good ball, even though it's before the 2-minute warning. Alshon just dropped it. He just allowed the ball to go through his hands. And so, you know, it's one of these things in games where you're saying, you know, you can't point the finger, can't blame anybody. Of course, Alshon, very good receiver, would catch a lot of those balls. But at this point in the season, you know, you have to start wondering why. Why were you in that position? You're up 14-0 after the first quarter. You have to find a way to put the ball in the end zone or at least a field goal. After that, offensively, we just weren't good enough.
Yeah, we'll go back and then we'll go forward to that play again because I want to know, you know, he felt really bad about that play, and I wondered if you've ever been in a situation like that before. But when the Eagles get up 14-0 and they get Breeze throwing an interception, they score off of that, they score on a drive, and then they get the Saints 3-and-out. And then they get the Saints to punt, and then the interception happens. He missed them. Mm-hmm. It was not a good throw. He missed them.
Yeah, well, you know, listen, I think it was a terrible throw by Nick Foles. Of course, on the interception, it was. He has to get the ball up and out in front of Zach Ertz. He, you know, on the deep ball, you can never throw it short because hopefully your receiver is past the defender. And if you throw it too long, then it's just an incomplete. You throw it short, then it's an interception. We saw that. After that, Mike, we saw a tentative Nick Foles. We saw a guy that looked a little gun-shy, didn't want to pull the trigger on some of his throws. He didn't have the same type of zip on the ball. This is Nick Foles that we saw a long time ago. That's not the guy that won us the Super Bowl last year. And unfortunately, that's the guy that showed up in the second round of the playoffs. And when we needed him the most, he just didn't give us enough. And you kind of add that to the fact that there's no running game. You add that to the fact that Jason Peters went out. Brandon Brooks got injured as well. And it really turns into an offense that cannot score the football.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you about the time of possession on their final 8 drives. Now, I guess it goes back to the first quarter, probably. 12 minutes, 51 seconds was their time of possession. Now, what was wrong with it? Like, why couldn't they move the ball? They found ways in the end of the season and in the playoffs to move the ball. Why couldn't they move it in this particular game?
Yeah, at the end of the game, I think it was 22 minutes they had, which is still not enough. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Saints had it for 38 minutes. But, you know, when they were moving the ball, the first two series, it was a balanced offense. They were running the football. They were throwing the ball, completing those passes. And then it got to a point where you stopped running. I think a lot of that had to do with Brandon Brooks not being in the game. And now the Saints, you know, where they were off balance and on their heels defensively, now they're able to attack the quarterback, get after Nick Foles just a little bit. And you know, it just looked like a different offense because you didn't have that balance. And for this whole run, the last month and a half of football, it's been run the football and throw it. Run the football and throw it. And unfortunately, in this game, after the first quarter, we went away from both of those types of things.
All right, the Saints scored the touchdown, and then in the second half, the 18-play possession. But that play, they converted 3 third downs and mm-hmm. 3rd and 16 to Michael Thomas. How does that play even happen when they have that zone flooded?
Yeah, it makes no sense to me. And if you want to point to a couple of different things on the defensive side of the ball, not getting pressure on the quarterback, that's a big-time thing. But converting those thirds and longs was a big issue for this defense. And really, when you look at it all season long, that's been a big issue. I'm looking and thinking back to the Tennessee game where we gave up third and long to Corey Davis across the middle of the field or on the sideline. And that's been an issue. And I think a lot of times when you're playing with reserve players like Hawkins because, you know, Rasul Douglas got hurt, you're going to give up some of these plays. And unfortunately for this defense, they've come at costly times. And when you allow the Saints team to convert 53% of their third downs, it's almost impossible to win a football game that way. That's why the Saints had 38 minutes of time of possession.
Curious to know what you have done on the touchdown that after the interception where they moved it down, and they had a couple of gutty plays on that, the first one being the fake punt. Now, they've got Taysom Hill in the game. Done this before where he's in the game. They use him in fake-type situations. Before that happened, there was a penalty that would have made it 3rd-and-11 for the Saints. Were you okay with the decision to decline that, or would you have taken that penalty?
In hindsight, I think I certainly would have taken the penalty and made them get 11 yards on third down. And basically, and I'll say this, based on what I've seen of our defense, giving up 3rd-and-16, 3rd-and-20, whatever else, there was a high probability that the Saints would have got that first down anyway. So I would have pushed them back. But, you know, when they called the play, to me, if I see Hill out there, which he's going to be out there, he's on the punt team, I probably would have called timeout to make my guys aware. I think the guys already knew the defensive stay team was on the field. I'm shocked. You know, the thing that shocked me is that you have your first team defense out there, and you have versus the punt team. We're talking about linebackers and safeties and some wide receivers, some running backs. Those are the guys that got the push that allowed Hill to get up the middle for that 1 yard. That kind of shocks me against a big Fletcher Cox and the different guys that we have on our defensive front. That shocks me that they're able to get enough push to be able to get that yard. But
yeah, and Cox got hurt on that play also.
That's right.
So.
But I would have pushed them back. I would have pushed them back anyway. Make it 3rd and longer.
I would have too, and I said at the time, and I know it is hindsight, but you know, 4th and 1. Doug Peterson is the master of saying that 4th and 1, the probability you're going to get that, and when Taysom Hill always scares me. I've seen him before make those kind of plays, and I knew that Peyton was going to have something up his sleeve, and that turned out to be a really big play in that
momentum changer. And here's the other thing: I think Doug is banking on the fact that they're at their own 30. And there's no way that they were potentially giving the Eagles the ball at that point in the field. Unfortunately, he was wrong about that.
Yeah.
That's
all right, let's move up again to the play with Jeffrey. You got to feel sick when a play like that happens. Has that type of situation ever happened to you in any kind of a game?
You know, I'm trying to think back. There has been a couple of games where I dropped the ball. There was a game, I want to say it was against Dallas, that I fumbled. And those are the types of situations where you know you have let your team down. You have put your team in a losing type of situation. And situations that you just can never get away from. You can get away from the way that you feel personally, but when you let the other guys on the offense, the other guys on your team down, that's the part that it probably disappoints you the most. And probably that's the part that's going to live with Alshon throughout the offseason, letting the guys around him down. You know, I appreciate the fact that he said it's his fault. I appreciate that because it takes a grown man to do that. Unfortunately, that just doesn't help us win a game.
All right, Brian, let's look ahead quickly now because, you know, this situation we have addressed before, but now it's a reality. They're definitely moving on from Foles at this point. Wentz is going to be your starter. You agree with that, right?
I agree, yeah.
Okay, now what do they do with Graham, Hicks, Ajayi, Darby, Tate, Aguilar, Peter, Sproles? What are you looking at? All these guys are in tenuous situations here. Who do you bring back? Who you don't bring back?
Right. A lot of different guys that you have to have the conversation about bringing back. To me, if a guy has been out for an extended period of time with injury, I have to question my ability to bring him back because sometimes those things repeat themselves. If those guys are a little bit older, I have to question myself to bring them back. I think Howie made a couple mistakes this season in bringing some guys back, and I don't see him making that same mistake again.
Are we talking about Peters and Sproles here?
Well, I think if you have an opportunity to bring in guys that can help you all season long, that can be in the game to help you, then that's what you have to do. Unfortunately, when you win a Super Bowl, emotionally, you bring back guys that maybe shouldn't be here, that you wouldn't bring back normally. And I think in some of those situations, he brought those guys back because there was an emotional tie. And you know, I think Darren helped us out a lot as far as when he got healthy. Unfortunately, there were a lot of games, 10-plus games, where he couldn't help us just because he was hurt.
Yeah, and he's not going to get healthier. What about Graham?
I love Brandon Graham. I love what he can do. If you can find a replacement, of course you do it. But I think Brandon, when healthy, can help you in the run game as well as the pass game. He can do a lot of different things. Again, another tough decision to make. You have to weigh the contract versus the productivity. And would you be able to get someone cheaper, two or three different guys cheaper than what you would get for Brandon Graham, which you would have to end up paying him? That's a big time question.
Would you take a shot with Ajayi on a 1-year deal?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, you're moving on completely here.
This is the reason why. I know how that knee, I know how knees and injuries are for running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when it gets bad, one injury after another. And I would be concerned about that knee for Jay Ajayi. I think when they got him from Miami, they felt that maybe he had 2 years left on that knee. And this would be the third of those years. And I just don't know that he'll get that production that you want from him. And truthfully, it's about time that they go out and get themselves a bell cow type of running back.
They got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there's a lot of holes to fill. There's a lot of work to do. Howie Roseman is going to have a great offseason. He's going to have one of his best offseason because, again, for the Eagles and Doug Peterson, they want this to be the new normal, what they did last year. But they have to make the playoffs. They have to make their team better. And this offseason with free agency and the draft is going to be huge.
All right, man. Is this the end of the we're talking to Brian Westbrook? Is this like the swan song?
Only on Monday. He's going to be every Friday.
Be with this one Friday?
That's year round.
I'm going to keep calling back in, but I have a big time bone to pick with you, my friend.
What's that?
Friday, we're picking our picks.
Yeah.
And you tell me that you feel that the LA Chargers are going to win.
I did.
I get a text message from you.
Yes.
Before the game. Oh, I picked the Patriots to win. I had a Dakota jersey.
I flipped. I had a God moment.
Oh, my God.
I was in my car in Jersey making the play. I hit the Rams hard, and the New England game pops up on my screen, and I go, I can't bet against them. I can't. I'm sorry, man. I couldn't. I can't possibly bet against Brady in this game. I go moneyline Patriots. I flipped. I'm a phony.
That was a good decision because it wasn't even close. I don't know what happened to the Dallas Cowboys defense, and I definitely don't know what happened to the Chargers defense.
Yeah, they looked unprepared, man. They came east again and weren't ready for it.
That's right.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you Friday.
Sounds good.
All right, man. There's Brian Westbrook brought to us by Visit Philly. Headed to the city for the game. Book the Visit Philly overnight hotel package. Enjoy over $200 worth of free perks, including free parking. Find out more at visitphilly.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.